Tonight's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Do keep that passage open in front of you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Only three verses, but there's a lot in it. And I'm going to pray as we start. Father, we want to be followers of Jesus, and we want to follow Jesus' teaching and example, but so often we fail. Father, please teach us and change us tonight through the power of your word and the work of your Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Victor and Henry Mears were jailed for 13 months for misleading advertising. Many of you will remember this story, even if you don't remember the names. The brothers came up with a great scheme to cash in on last Christmas. They created Lapland Theme Park in Bournemouth, which is the obvious place to have a Lapland theme park. And they included lots of what they thought were great attractions. They marketed it really well, and they charged visitors quite a lot. The only problem with the scheme was that all of the visitors thought the attractions were rubbish. And the judge said this. He said, visitors had been promised a magical Christmas kingdom, but it turned out to be an averagely managed car boot sale. He said, the failure of Lapland New Forest was caused by the unrelenting greed shown by you and your desire to squeeze every drop of profit rather than build and create the winter wonderland you promised thousands of customers. You were probably never able to visit Lapland Theme Park, which is a good thing, but now, no doubt you've heard of lots of companies being accused of false advertising. Broadband companies and budget airlines, those two spring to mind immediately. What they advertise is not what the customer ends up with. Some preachers and authors present Christianity in a certain way. Become a Christian and your life's going to be great. No more sickness, no more poverty, no more friendship issues, no more loneliness, and so it goes on. The problem is, that's not what the Bible teaches. As we continue our look at Jesus' famous teaching in Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount, it's worth recognizing that Jesus could never be accused of false advertising. He doesn't change what he's saying to what the hearers want to hear. He doesn't present Christianity, following him, as something different than it actually is. He's totally honest, totally realistic, totally upfront. And what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, and we saw a bit of this in the video, is that being a follower of his will mean being different from other people. I hope when you saw, when we looked at the Beatitudes, the first few Beatitudes last week, that to follow Jesus sometimes means doing the opposite from what the world thinks. The opposite from what your friends want you to do. Maybe the opposite from what the media says. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' ministry is just beginning. People are beginning to crowd around him. He's done some great miracles. And there's this expectation growing that he is the great Messiah from God who will bring in a wonderful new kingdom just like that. And Jesus, in these verses, chooses to talk about something that is likely to put off a lot of people. It's a harsh and unfriendly word to describe what his followers must expect. Persecution. Now, why on earth does he do that? Does he really need to be so negative to all these new followers who are so enthusiastic? Well, Jesus is telling us about the persecution that will come if we're his followers. He's giving us the real facts. And we're going to look at those facts tonight. We're going to see three things about persecution. The reality of persecution, the righteousness that leads to persecution, and the reward that comes from persecution. Let's have a look at the first one, the reality of persecution. Do look down with me at verses 10 and 11 in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read it again. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus seems to assume that if you are one of his followers, you will be persecuted. Verse 11 again, blessed are you when people insult you. The way this Greek word for persecution is formed indicates that the persecution Jesus is talking about is something that has happened and is happening and will happen in the future. Now, that doesn't mean that we will always face persecution. I guess for lots of us, for most of our day-to-day lives, we may be without persecution. On a national level, God, in his sovereign plan, ordains that certain nations go without big persecution for a few centuries, like our country, and other countries, other Christians suffer greatly. But Jesus is saying, don't be surprised if you are persecuted. Don't be surprised, because it comes with the job. And all Christians who are living for Christ will face persecution at some point in their lives, including us, in whatever form it may take. So what form might it take? Let's unpack verse 11 a bit more, looking at those three phrases. Blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you, and when people falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Let's take the middle one first. The word persecution can include lots of different levels of opposition to Christians. I guess most seriously, for a lot of us, it is the killing of Christians. Throughout history, Christians have died for believing in and standing for Jesus and the gospel. For the first three centuries of the church, the first few hundred years after Jesus walked the earth, Christians faced persecution from the government, which was the Roman Empire. If you were a church leader, you could pretty much expect to be persecuted. Most of Jesus' disciples were executed. I showed this quote to the Body and Soul group a few days ago, but it's always one that's left an impact on me. Polycarp, who was the Bishop of Smyrna only a few years after the New Testament was written, was burnt at the stake for his Christian beliefs. And he was given one last chance to recant, to abandon Christianity and Jesus. And this is his response. 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Saviour? Isn't that a wonderful thing to say as you near the end of your life, as you face the fire? Polycarp was put to death by a non-Christian government, but throughout history, lots of Christians who are faithful to Jesus and to God's word have been persecuted by other people who would say they're Christians. Bernard mentioned Thomas Cranmer in his talk on the English Reformation a couple of weeks ago. Cranmer was the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's the person behind the Book of Common Prayer and the 39 Articles, if you know about those. He was put to death by Bloody Mary, Queen Mary I, on the 21st of March 1556. And he was burnt at the stake outside Balliol College in Oxford. The Archbishop of Canterbury. If you ever visit Balliol, you can actually see the original door that was there that still has scorch marks from the flames. The 20th century was supposed to be a time of tolerance and advancement, not just technological advancement, but in terms of our harmony. We set up the UN, we set up the Geneva Convention. We're supposed to all get on with each other. Did that mean that the persecution of Christians stopped? No, because more Christians died in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries put together. And today, violent persecution of Christians continues around the world. One study says that 75% of religious persecution is directed at Christians. There are loads of examples. Here are just two or three. In Iraq, 5% of the population is Christian, and yet 40% of the refugees are. In Nigeria, northern Nigeria, thousands of Christians have been made homeless and have been attacked after Muslim Sharia law was brought in by the government there. And in Pakistan, many Christians have been gunned down, some while leaving church. Okay, that's violent persecution, often state-led. We haven't seen that in this country in recent centuries, through God's grace. But even in this country, Christians may face persecution if certain laws are implemented in a certain way. Many of us will get the regular updates from the Christian Institutes and Christian Concern for Our Nation, saying about the persecution that some Christians have for standing up for what the Bible says on certain moral issues like sexuality, or just for telling people about Jesus. But what about us individually? What about us in our workplace, in our friends, in our family? Well, let's look at the second point, which is actually the first point. People insult you. Blessed are you when people insult you. Some of us will have faced this at school. I don't know whether you're going through this at school at the moment. Other people mocking you for what you believe, for what you do, for what you don't do. I certainly had that. Some of us might face insults at home from our families. Maybe we're the only Christian. Maybe they just don't understand what's happening in your life. Maybe you face insults at work from colleagues. I guess a number of us will have had this situation happen to us, where we're in a conversation with someone new, we talk to them, we get on with them, we make a link with them, and then it comes up that we're a Christian. And immediately they get that look going across their face that says, I thought you were okay up until now, but now I find out you're a Christian. That's an insult, isn't it? And then the third point, when people falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The very early Christians were subject to a lot of malicious rumours. Some of them came from confusion. There was one rumour that said that Christians were cannibals. That rumour doesn't tend to go around now. But it said that Christians were cannibals. They ate other humans. I don't know if you can spot where the confusion came from. Jesus said, this bread and this wine represents my body, my blood. But maybe you've been the subject of malicious rumours at work because you're a Christian. So, our first point, I hope you realise that persecution is very real. Follow Jesus and you will face it. But why? Why are we persecuted? Why should we expect to be persecuted? These verses give us two pointers. Have a look down again at verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So in some sense, we are persecuted because we live according to the way of righteousness, the way God wants us to live. And because we're living for Jesus, we're standing up for him, we're public about our belief in him, and we tell people about him. Notice that these come at the end of all the Beatitudes Chris was talking about last week. And there's a link. If you live as those Beatitudes said, if you're humble, if you're meek, if you're a peacemaker, then you will be persecuted. Why? Well, because you're different. Because you're living a different life. And you're calling other people to live a different way from the way they do. Have a look down at Matthew 5 and on to the next couple of verses, verses 13 and 14. And just briefly notice that we're like shining lights. We're not supposed to be hidden. We don't keep our Christianity quiet. We're public. We're like shining lights. Jesus says it's in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. We face persecution because we belong to Jesus. And after all, Jesus, who was sinless, was put to death by the world. Sometimes when we do speak about Jesus, when we do live good lives, people will respond positively to the gospel. That you see that a little bit in verse 16 of Matthew 5. And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks as a church family. Hospital staff and friends and families have seen the way Christchurch has responded in love to certain people who are suffering. But sometimes we will face persecution. So what might it look like in practice to be persecuted for righteousness? Well, it comes from living the godly life, and it comes from not just trusting in Jesus, but publicly proclaiming the truth about Jesus. So maybe when you're at school or university or at work, there are certain things you know are wrong. like getting drunk or sleeping around or even laughing at crude jokes. Even if, and you need to reject those. It might mean not doing those things. Even if people might think you're not much fun or might think you're being holier than thou. It might mean doing things that you know are right, like making personal prayer a priority or making Sunday services a priority. Even if that means that you can't do some social things with friends and they might think you're not very much fun or you're a bit old-fashioned going to church. And it will also mean being public about your faith in Jesus, about what you believe and what Jesus has done for you and what your purpose in life is, not covering it up. Chris mentioned this morning, being bold in evangelism. So if the conversation comes up about what happens after we die, that's the point where you need to be really honest and really bold about what you know is the truth, even if you know that the consequence is going to be criticism and people maybe rejecting you. If you're living for Jesus and you're following God's righteous commands, you will, at various points in your life, in various ways, face persecution. And our third point, the reward that comes from persecution. Possibly you're thinking that these are really depressing verses from Jesus. This is maybe not the most encouraging topic to be discussing on a Sunday evening. Well, actually, although these verses are about persecution, notice how many good things, how many times good things are mentioned. Let me read them again and think about the positive things in here. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So how does Jesus describe this persecution? He says we're blessed. He even says rejoice and be glad. Now that doesn't mean we necessarily have to be happy in our emotions when we're being persecuted. And we definitely shouldn't go looking for it. When Paul faced persecution in Acts, when he was in Damascus, he escaped at night. He didn't stand there with a big sign saying, "Hello, I'm a Christian, come and get me." But it does mean that being persecuted is a sign we're following Jesus. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "In fact, everyone who wants to lead a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And it's also a way of sharing in Christ's sufferings, following the way of the cross. Jesus himself suffered on the cross for us, and when we're persecuted, we're following that path. And blessings can come from that persecution, even if we can't see it at the time, even if it's terrible. We may walk more closely with Jesus. We may depend on him more, depend more on his grace, depend more in prayer. And look at what is waiting for us, the kingdom of heaven. And not only that, but there will be reward for us in heaven. In the new creation, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will of course be no more suffering, no more persecution of any kind, but there'll also be particular reward for those who have stood up for Jesus. And even before that day, we can know we're citizens of his kingdom, with all the blessings that entails. And then look at verse 12, and look at the company we're in. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we go through persecution, we're facing persecution like Jeremiah and Amos and apostles like Peter and James and John. We're part of a great team that has run throughout history and is present across the world, living for Jesus. We might feel isolated, but we're part of a great team. So what can we take from these short few verses that will make a difference to our lives? That's always our aim when we look at God's word. I hope it's clear that whatever some people may think, being a Christian, and this is something to note if you're not a Christian, choosing to follow Jesus is not an easy ride in life. It's not a way of avoiding problems. If we follow Jesus, we need to expect persecution. And although none of us might be facing violent persecution, lots of us will have known the insults and the mocking, the isolation and the loneliness that can sometimes happen from being a Christian in our family, amongst our friends, at our workplace. If we've never experienced that, it might be worth asking why. Are we really shining as brightly as we might? And if we are facing persecution at the moment, or when we do in the future, this passage is a great encouragement. Not only is persecution to be expected, not only is it a badge of honour for those who are following Jesus, but it brings with it a reward which we can look forward to in the tough times. And finally, let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are facing terrible, violent persecution as we speak. Let's pray that they would take great comfort from these words of Jesus, and let's pray that they would continue to live as great citizens, not of this world, but of the kingdom of heaven. So we've seen the reality of persecution, the righteousness that leads to persecution, and the reward that comes from persecution. Before I pray, let me leave you with one story that I think is really encouraging of a follower of Jesus. John Chrysostom was a godly leader in the 4th century church, and he preached so boldly about Jesus and about sin that he offended the emperor, the Roman emperor, who dragged him in and threatened him with banishment, with exile, unless he stopped preaching. John replied, "Sir, you cannot banish me, for the world is my father's house." "Then I will slay you," said the emperor. "I'll kill you." John replied, "No, you cannot, for my life is hid with Christ in God." "Your treasures will be confiscated," was the next threat from the emperor. "Sir," said John, "that cannot be true either. My treasures are in heaven. None can break through and steal them." The emperor made one final desperate warning. "Then I will drive you from all of your friends and all of your family, and you will have no friends left." "Sir," said John, "you cannot do that either, because I have a friend in heaven, the Lord Jesus, who says, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" And John Chrysostom was banished to Armenia, and he died there. He died of persecution, but that didn't mean that any of his claims were false. They were all true, and they're all still true. Let's pray. Father, please would you give us the conviction and the courage to remain faithful to Jesus and faithful to your word, even when faced with persecution of any kind. Help us to be people who are standing for you and for your truth in a world that hates you, and to be a people that look to that eternal reward that can never be stolen. And may everything we do be for your glory. Amen.